Today, we're joined by Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. We normally would have a duo here, but today we have Cecil on. And as we begin the program, I just want to remind you once again, don't hesitate to give them a call, 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050, or go online to harvellandcollins.com. Spell out the word and, please, harvellandcollins.com. There you can see the outstanding array of service providers, the various attorneys. They have a plethora of them, as a matter of fact. They've added some new attorneys to their staff as well. But with that, today we have Cecil. And with that, good afternoon, Cecil.
Good afternoon, Lockwood, and happy after Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, post-Thanksgiving.
Post-gobble-gobble.
Right.
All right, look, Lockwood, there's not a day that goes by here at the law firm that I do not hear, well, I added my daughter to my account so that she can pay my bills, or I have added my child to my investment account at wherever it be, Wells Fargo, Edward Jones, AG Edwards, Smith Barney, we're not going to pick on anybody, so that my daughter can pay my bills. And of course, that's a little bit of a red flag to me, because actually what that means is that you've made your loved one, your daughter or your son, whoever you added to the account, Lockwood, you have made them the owner of the account along with you. And so what really is the best procedure for all of our good clients is to have that famous document known as a durable power of attorney. And to register the power of attorney with your bank, with your stock company, your investment broker, if you have one. All of your banks are most familiar with a power of attorney. We're going to talk about that in more detail here in a moment. Let me just say, all powers of attorney are not alike and are not of the same quality, but we'll go into that in a moment, Lockwood. But the bottom line is our banking institutions, they are very familiar with powers of attorney, and they do need to be recorded with the Register of Deeds.
Ooh.
And then the bank will many times have their legal department pass on it. This isn't a onerous or burdensome thing. It might take a few hours or a day or so, but they do like for their legal department to pass on the power of attorney, because after all, the agent under the power of attorney now will have full access to the account with the bank. Now, again, I hasten to say, Lockwood, this is the way to go. This is the best procedure for all of our good clients to have a good, well-drafted power of attorney and to allow their child to use the power of attorney versus the adding of the child's name to the account. So let's decipher this a bit. First of all powers of attorney are not created alike. Be very cautious of internet powers of attorney and forms that you find in bookstores and in other places. You really need a very specifically tailored power of attorney incorporating the North Carolina statutes, and giving the agent under the power of attorney, the agent, of course, Lockwood, being usually your son, your daughter, your grandchild, your loved one, many times also your beneficiary, and that's quite fine for them to also be a beneficiary of your estate. But under the current factual circumstances, they're not acting as a beneficiary. They're acting as your agent to pay your bills and to handle your financial affairs. And this power of attorney needs very specific grants of authority that allow your loved one to be able to access the account, p- take actions with regard to stocks or bonds, to buy or sell or trade. Again, the language in the power of attorney needs to be very specific. In fact, in our office, the power of attorney needs to go even further and allow your loved one to create trust on your behalf, be it an irrevocable or revocable trust. Suppose we suddenly need a trust in order to protect your assets from, say, a long-term care facility, mm-hmm. a nursing home, something of that nature. Well, the power of attorney needs to have the specific grant of authority in it that allows your agent, your son, your daughter, to be able to do that on your behalf. Without these specific grants of authority, Lockwood, we run into problems where the institution, the bank, the stock company is uncomfortable transferring assets under the power of attorney because the language is not as clear and as concise as it needs to be. So let's don't use the internet on this one. Let's don't use AI. We can use AI to research this, Lockwood, yeah. and to understand it better. Okay, we here at the law firm are enjoying AI as another mode of knowledge, just like this radio program, Lockwood, right. is a way in which we here at the law firm help clients have more knowledge as to things. But AI is not the gospel. It does have its drawbacks, and it can confuse people.
Right.
So let's don't do a power of attorney based on the internet. Let's seek good and sound legal advice from an estate lawyer, and let's prepare a document based on the North Carolina statute. Now, again, I hasten to say the real reason for all of this is so that the ownership of the account is not changed. That is not a good thing. Once the ownership of the account is changed because you added your son or daughter to the account, then all sorts of things can happen. Suppose for some reason the son or daughter is involved in an accident mm-hmm. and has a judgment against them.
Right.
Now your account could be subject to that judgment. Uh-huh. Suppose your son or daughter die and the account is now involved in their estate. We don't want that to happen. We don't want the account to go exclusively to a son or a daughter to the exclusion of the other children who are the beneficiary of your account. So the power of attorney is the way around all of these hurdles, these issues that can evolve.
You are looking at the nuances of a particular estate or family situation. It's not just a matter of a cut and dried circumstance. You're looking for, and I use that word nuance, the subtleties that are important that may become important down the line. So that's part of the purpose of the conversation, is it not, when you're talking to your clients, to fully understand and grasp what the potential challenges might be. Would that be a good description?
That's correct. And the power of attorney is truly, Lockwood, the threshold document. I hate to say maybe the most important document in your estate planning documents, but it is right up at the top because it is the document that operates while we are living
uh-huh.
and makes smooth transitions to our agent to pay our bills, handle our affairs, make claims under insurance if we're involved in an accident,
right.
file our tax returns. Mm. The list of authority under the power of attorney is endless. And that is why it's very important that it's drafted by a lawyer that is most familiar with estate work, trust planning, elder law planning, so that all of these various provisions, grants of authority, are included. They are not included in an internet form,
right,
or a short form power of attorney, or some document that's three or four pages that you just kind of initial here and initial there. I know there's this joke out there that we lawyers bill by the page, bill by the paper,
right.
Our power of attorney here at our law firm and at other good law firms in the estate arena is a good, you know, 8, 9, 10 page single space document, because it has, why? Because it has all of these very specific grants of authority. Now, the word durable is very simple. The durable nature of the power of attorney is just that it continues to be in effect during the duration of our incapacity.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't stop or start. It begins when we need the document or it becomes necessary to use the document, and it continues to be in existence and have its authority during the duration of our sickness, our illness, our the time period that we need the document to continue to be in full force and effect. I really do recommend strongly that our listeners not ignore this advice concerning the drafting of a power of attorney. It can save really thousands of dollars if you do not have such a document, because we then have to go to court and get what might be called a court-appointed power of attorney, which is known as a guardianship. That can be very emotional, very expensive. These documents, these powers of attorney that are well-drafted at a law firm like ours or other good law firms that work in the area of trust and estates, you know, they are not expensive, Lockwood, $100, $200, $150, $185, you know, a few hundred dollars, a couple hundred dollars, the same kinds of price that you pay getting in and out of Walmart. And yet the benefit of the document can be so very significant for the family, because they now have the authority to handle one's affairs.
Talking with Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins, and we're talking about durable power of attorney. You hit me with the issue of the register of deeds. I want to get to that in a moment. But you also said that, for example, if you're dealing with a financial institution, they're going to pay very close attention to the durable power of attorney. And that is in a case where you have an ongoing relationship. But if your parent or your sibling wants to start a new relationship with a new financial institution, a new investment firm, whatever, does that require a new power of attorney, durable power of attorney, or do you just simply send them a copy of the existing durable power of attorney, and do they accept that? That's number one. And then number two.
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay. And no, you do not need a separate power of attorney for each and every place in which you have an asset. In other words, each bank or each stock company or investment advisor. Keep in mind, the power of attorney is used sometimes at the Register of Deeds office.
Right.
It is many times used at the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Okay.
It is used and registered with the Internal Revenue Service if that's necessary. And it's only one document, the one and only well-drafted, recorded, durable power of attorney. And then multiple copies are made of that and forwarded wherever they need to be. And so that's a great question, Lockwood. There is only the one document.
All right. And then, by the way, this is an important question. The original of this power of attorney, and you also mentioned the Register of Deeds a few moments ago. Where is the original kept?
The original needs to be kept with the agent.
Okay.
In other words,
right,
with the son or the daughter, or potentially with the principal, the mother, the father, the grandmother, the granddaddy. But it needs to be the original needs to be kept in their possession.
Okay.
You then render a copy, photostatic copy, which is, of course, a copy of the recorded document, to the institution. They may want to peruse the original. They may want to see identification, such as the driver's license or passport of the agent, to make sure that John is John and John is not Jack.
Right, right.
But the bottom line is that they may want to peruse the original, but they do not need to keep the original. The original needs to be maintained with the family, with your important documents, and then circulate a photostatic copy to the various persons who are going to rely on the power of attorney.
Is the document recorded in the courthouse in any fashion?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
A power of attorney is recorded in the Register of Deeds to be operative. So what happens is that, let's say that we have a wonderful fellow like Lockwood Phillips,
okay,
who is doing as wonderful as anyone could ever dream to be.
Thank you.
He doesn't need a power of attorney. You need the document, Lockwood, but your dear wife, your precious children do not need to act for you right now.
Uh-huh.
So you get the document prepared, you sign it under notary, you then keep that original document with your other important documents, like one's last will and testament, one's trust, health care power of attorney. But it, if at some point in our life, our child or our spouse or our loved one needs to act under the power of attorney, then the power of attorney, the original that is located and is taken to the Register of Deeds and is recorded.
Okay.
It then becomes operative and of full legal effect and is now ready to be relied upon by the various institutions. So, yes, it does have to be recorded. Now, some of our clients will ask that it go ahead and be recorded. A lot of times, Lockwood, this is based on their age, their station in life, you know, their, you know, whatever age we want to say. Everyone seems to be getting younger and younger.
Right, right.
Used to be 80. Now I have to talk about our 90s.
Right.
Okay? But, yes, if I have a 95-year-old client in my office and he asks me, I think it might be time, Mr. Cecil, for me to have my power of attorney recorded. After all, I turn 96 next month.
Right.
Then, yes, we will record it for him.
Then the other question, of course, goes to a change in that durable power of attorney. What is the procedure for that? Because, well, for example, maybe children move on, the initial agents have, whatever the reason, they've passed away, for example. But what do you do in that particular case with a durable power of attorney?
Well, first of all, the document should have an alternate,
okay,
like all of our good legal documents. We name John, and then we need to name, you know, Sue, and then we need to name, you know, David. So each document that we have should have should have alternate, just like our wills have the appointment of an executor, but then they have an alternate executor, and they may even have a third alternate. So each power of attorney starts with the appointment of our number one agent,
okay,
and then we have our backups. And so if for some reason number one is not available, has died, is unable to act, then there simply would be an affidavit or a statement to that effect, evidence of that. If there was a death, there'd be a death certificate, and the next alternate in the document would become front and center. The document can be amended or modified. The document is revocable, can be changed, it can be revoked. That does need to be in writing, all of the things that I just mentioned. If we're going to revoke a power of attorney, we need to do it in writing. If we're going to modify it, we need to do it in writing. If it's been recorded, then the new document, the revocation, the amendment, the modification, whatever there happens to be, then it also would need to be recorded.
What should we look for in the way of an agent for a durable power of attorney? How would you recommend someone who's saying, okay, I need a durable power of attorney, and I'm sure the first thing in their mind is, all right, who should I select as my agent, I think is the proper description. And what would you advise a potential client in that regard?
We do advise here, Lockwood, that I start out by using the phrase, the right hand knowing about the left hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's best that your agent under the power of attorney also be your executor. Because after all, the agent under the power of attorney is going to be paying your bills, filing your tax return, filing your insurances, keeping up with what Medicare did pay and didn't pay,
mm-hmm.
all of those details of our financial life and living. And then, unfortunately, we then pass on.
Uh-huh.
Well, if the same person that was the power of attorney agent is now the executor, you can imagine, Lockwood, that they're in the loop on all of these
mm-hmm.
things. They know that the tax return was or was not filed or was extended. They know that Medicare paid all of the bill except the following amount is still outstanding. They are in the loop as to what financially occurred for their loved one. And so for them to now be the executor to take over and to uplift the file and to know all of the facts and circumstances is very beneficial. Now, the law does not require that it be the same person, but in our office, a good estate and trust lawyer, and this would be at any particular law firm, a good trust and estates law firm, would suggest that the agents be the same. And if for some reason they are not, then the lawyer probably would ask a question as to, well, tell me why you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think John should be your agent under the power of attorney, and yet Sue should be your executor under the will?
Right.
Because keep in mind, if John acts as your power of attorney and then something happens, Sue is not going to really know what was or was not
right.
accomplished. And so tell me, please, Mr. Jones, let's have some discussion about why we want a different person. Let's keep in mind that on all of these documents, there can be co's. And that sometimes is the solution to some of the questions you're asking, Lockwood. Some of our listeners are thinking, well, I want to name Sue, but I also want to name John.
Uh-huh.
Or I want to name John, but I certainly want Sue to know what's going on. Well, let's make them co. They can act jointly and severally under the power of attorney. They can act together or separately. Now, under the will, if you make them co-executors, then they both will need to qualify under the will. But the bottom line is, we can always name co-agents, Lockwood, and many, many clients. That's the solution. That's the final thing that they rest on and become comfortable with, is that they've named both children. Or if they have four children, they've named two of the four.
Right.
Something of that nature.
I'm very impressed by the importance of this document, particularly in the capacity of being able to maintain the circumstances for the benefactor, the primary in the estate, the father, the mother. I'm just going to use those as examples. But it strikes me that in the process of preparing a will, that a durable power of attorney is also a topic of discussion at the same time. I'm thinking that's probably a conversation you have with your clients as you're preparing wills, for example, for them, various powers of attorney. And we haven't even gotten into others, but is that part of a conversation you have when you're looking at estate matters?
Yes, absolutely. That's correct. The way I like to explain estate planning and trust planning, long-term care, mm-hmm. nursing home planning. The way that I like to explain it is that the client needs to come in to the good lawyer and let's have a confidential meeting whereby we begin to understand all of the pieces of your life puzzle.
Uh-huh.
How many times have you been married? Are you currently married?
Uh-huh.
How many children do you have? Are there children from prior marriages? Please tell me confidentially all of the pieces of your life puzzle. And then what we good trust and estates lawyer do is we put those pieces of the puzzle back together again into a nicely crafted, finished product that meets the objectives and meets the goals, if you will, of the client. There's so much misunderstanding and assumptions made, like, well, I thought my wife gets everything.
Right, right.
Well, I thought if I had three children, you know, my oldest child is the executor. There is so much misinformation. And some of that, you're right, Lockwood, is coming from this new world that we live in, artificial intelligence,
right.
AI, as they now are calling it, but and just the internet in general. We can Google anything. But let's be careful. Let's be cautious. There's no problem with reading, researching. In fact, I encourage clients to do that, and I like it when they do that. It makes my job easier. But the final word needs to be with a well-experienced attorney.
So many of us make some assumption about the topic of ownership. Well, I'm the power of attorney for, well, I'm not a power of attorney, but I'm on the, if you will, the signature list for a particular family member. That could make me an owner of the account, which could also make me accountable for that. And that is something that I know that with a durable power of attorney, you've got a certain degree of accountability, do you not? I mean, there's that is a little bit more structured.
Correct. Exactly. Lockwood, that's a very good point, that under under a recorded power of attorney, you are the agent, and you therefore have a fiduciary duty to act in good faith with the assets of the principal. If you just are registered on the account as a joint owner, you can do whatever you please. You can go in and get $50,000 and buy a new car. There's just so much opportunity, and we see it every day, every week. Mr. Collins, who is the litigator here in the law firm, and his staff, you know, are just, you know, file cabinets full of these cases where folks will take advantage of the fact that they are the joint owner on an account.
Right.
Sometimes these accounts, Lockwood, can be very large. I mean, you know, a brokerage account with one of our very good investment folks. I mean, when I say that, I mean, you know, be it, say, Wells Fargo Investment, A.G. Edwards, Edward Jones, all of these folks are just wonderful. It's not their issue. It's the fact that the client directs them to make their son or daughter the owner on the account, or to make them the payable on death on the account. Well, now, of course, the fiduciary obligation of doing on behalf of the principal goes out the window. They are simply on the account. They can do with the account as they please, and they many times do, until such time as the other beneficiaries go and hire Harvell and Collins or another good law firm to have those transactions set aside. So it is putting your name, having your loved one's name on your accounts is a real red herring. Let's use the durable power of attorney.
The durable power of attorney. We're talking with Cecil Harvell. And again, all you have to do is make a phone call, 252 area code 726-9050. Go online to harvellandcollins.com, harvellandcollins.com. And Cecil, I know that we're coming to the end of both the program, but also the end of the year. This is a good time to start reviewing our personal matters.
It is, Lockwood, yes.
So
it's a perfect time to dust those documents off and take a look at them.
All right, and the best way to do that, make a phone call, 252 area code 726-9050. And with that, Cecil, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Lockwood. I'll talk to you next week.